Bloomberg Audio Studios. Podcasts, radio, news. You're listening to the Bloomberg Balance of Power podcast. Catch us live weekdays at noon and 5 p.m. Eastern on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto with the Bloomberg Business app. Listen on demand wherever you get your podcasts or watch us live on YouTube.
We turn back to a story that we discussed at length with our panel yesterday, and we will have our panel with us in a couple of moments as we stop down to consider what just happened on the other side of the Potomac River, Mario Parker. An eviction is a word that some are using. A walkout might be more precise, as the press corps literally unpacked their desks, broke down their computers, and walked out en masse following what was seen as a completely untenable demand from the Secretary of Defense.
Yes, absolutely, Joe. Interesting moment, I think, in journalism and democracy, and kind of marks this period that we're in here.
That's for sure.
Right now, as we try to cover and hold the government to account and give taxpayers and readers a view of how their money is being used.
Indeed, it was a demand to not solicit classified information. It was a demand to seek Pentagon approval before publishing. And there were more where those came from, and what I believe was a 21-page document. Every news organization, this is not something you see very often, including Fox News, joined together to say no. There was one exception. I believe ON is the agency of record now, apparently, at the Pentagon, sort of a state news service, if you will. And I'm not sure. I guess they'll have the run of the place. I don't know how briefings are going to work with one news agency. But we have a friend of the program here was right in the middle of this, and one of the veterans covering the Pentagon who decided to say no yesterday, and that's Bloomberg's Tony Capasio, who's with us in studio right now. Normally, he would be across the river in what was known as the Correspondence Corridor, right? This
Correct.
Was an area that was, in fact, not only home to reporters who did their work there, but was a tribute to those who, in many cases, had lost their lives covering foreign wars.
The corridor is the OSD Public Affairs Corridor, and the Correspondence Corridor is where we sit. Mm-hmm. But this has it's got tributes to the power of power of the press, the power of television, the power of technology, the power of pictures, and there's a rolling montage of those journalists who died in the line of combat or coverage. Pretty touching. And even there's a Principles of Information panel. Always abused, sometimes followed. I want to bring up a historic moment that fits in today. 63 years ago next week, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Secretary of State Dean Rusk allegedly said to a fellow official during the Cuban Missile Crisis, "I think the yellow fellow just blinked." 63 years later, 45 news organizations didn't blink, and they said goodbye. Less cataclysmic than the Cuban Missile Crisis, but just as consequential in terms of freedom of the press.
Wow.
And Tony, what's one of your earliest memories, I guess, of entering the Pentagon and covering the institution? Can you share some of that?
Well, the earliest memory, back in the mid-80s, there was a movie called The Day After. ABC was trying to get the script approved.
Remember it well.
I actually got into the Pentagon. And one of the new motion picture people actually gave me the script that with the Pentagon's approval, with the Pentagon's edits that weren't draconian, but he gave me the document. He gave me the file. That's how transparent they did. And I ended up doing a story for Common Cause magazine, I think it was. But I got in there. I was petrified to a point because it's daunting and it's large and it's bright. But this Air Force general, a colonel, worked for the film office. He actually walked me through the changes that the Pentagon suggested that ABC.
The Pentagon marked up the day
took,
after?
They marked it up.
Wow.
And it wasn't that. It was the ABC script, as I recall.
Yeah.
Jason Robards in the movie, is it?
Good memory. That was a national event when that thing.
It was right?
Everyone stayed
event,
up to
but
watch
we did
it in prime time.
About the, I think I was with Jack Anderson's column at the time.
Hysterical.
And we did a story. The Pentagon approved the day after. They modified some of the script, but they didn't say, "We're not going to help you at all."
Right.
So that's one of my earliest probably my earliest memory.
Fantastic. You should get him, by the way, off the air. Ask him about the food court. Nobody will believe it. But I want to hear about what happens now, because the power of no is important, and the images of you guys walking out yesterday, it was an important moment. Now, of course, Pete Hegseth is waving goodbye, bye-bye on social media. How do you now cover the Pentagon without being in the building?
Well, hey, this is a good question, because now it's going to relegate to phone calls and emails. Phone calls, emails, and meeting people outside the building. So I have a good example yesterday of the importance of being there.
Yeah.
There's a number of reasons I'll let you know, but yesterday, I was outside in the corridor leaning on a garbage can area. It was not like a regular can, but just leaning, talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. There was a rumor that Hegseth's plane had turned back mm-hmm. to Europe. Mm-hmm. I wanted, being there, you could buttonhole people. A guy passed me, an official I deal with.
Yeah.
He confirmed off the record, yeah, cracked windshield. I was literally, my arm was on, cracked windshield, blah, blah. I went and I messaged our editors from my phone, cracked windshield, more to follow, not endangered. If his plane had a major problem and it, God forbid, crashed or something major, and we were not in the building, you'd be relegated to phone calls that were not answered, emails that would take forever to get back, mm-hmm. and a general panic on what the hell happened to the defense secretary's plane. So the value of being there in a crisis is exponentially important. Robert Bales, an Army sergeant, butchered a number of Afghan civilians about 10, 12 years ago. I was in the building. We're trying to get confirmation of Bales' name. CNN broke it. I was able to grab then spokesman John Kirby as he was walking into his court, his office. Mm-hmm. I said, is it Bales or not? And he nodded. Yeah, it was Bales. We were able to confirm it because we were there.
Uh-huh. So you're describing what happens when you're in person. Being out of the building now means you're, of course, not going to get those scoops. But isn't the Pentagon going to start leaking like a sieve?
Now, this whole concept of leaking is you get a piece here, you get a piece there. Uh-huh. You pull them together, and sometimes they consider that a leak because it's unauthorized information.
But if they can't find Tony Capasso in the halls, they're going to get it to you somehow.
Well, yeah, they will through phones, mm-hmm. signal, meet outside the building, or Capitol Hill becomes important. Industry contacts become more important in terms of how to get the information. Hmm. Online, they do post things that they might not think are useful, but you pull them together, they become important. Mm-hmm. Can I give a couple reasons why it's important for the press to be in the building that have been lost in the debate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. then we'll wrap mm-hmm. further.
50% of the discretionary budget that Congress passes, exclusive of Medicare and Medicaid, mm-hmm. is spent by the Pentagon. They're asking for like $1 trillion next year, $1 trillion, right. all-time yep. high. The press needs to be there as a presence to let these people know there's an accountability factor for that kind of money. Yeah. The other reason, 98% of the United States population has no connection with the military. Us being there is one representation of those 98% with no connection. Mm-hmm. The other 2%, it's a volunteer force. Their mothers and fathers are look to press coverage, especially on personnel policies. Tim says, should my daughter or son go into the military? Very important to be there to explain those policies. Personnel policies resonate a lot more on Capitol Hill than maybe a cost overrun right. story. So you got to be aware of that. But those are the main reasons that the press should be there.
Sure.
And then there's one final thing, the influencer notice. Many officials who go in there, spend time at the Pentagon, their exposure to the media may be none or to regional or local. This way, they're exposed to the national media. The Pentagon press corps generally seen as the best in terms of knowledge, not grandstanding.
Yes, right.
And eagerness to learn about obscure issues. They go back into the field and they say, hey, I dealt with the Pentagon, the press corps. Mm-hmm. The press isn't bad. We need to deal with them. Mm-hmm. This is to an institution that viscerally doesn't want to deal with us because we go outside the norm often.
Well, we have a lot of respect for what you do, what you did yesterday, and at least we get to see him around the Bureau a little more often.
Yes, it's a joy to work with you, Tony. Thank you so much. And we're joined now by our panel, Rick Davis, a partner at Stone Court Capital and Bloomberg contributor, and Aisha Mills, a principal at Community Asset Management and Democratic Strategist. Thank you so much for joining us. Rick, I mean, this was a huge moment, I guess, for journalism. We just heard Tony Capasso speak about this, as well as just both journalism, but also democracy. I mean, does the White House, does this administration, is it over-torquing here at all? Is there a risk there that there could be some type of blowback here for some of these measures it's taking?
Yeah, it is a bit of a quandary to me. This is a president who exemplifies, you know, his own form of transparency. We've seen more of him in the 10 months he's been president of the United States than any other president in any other time during their term of office. I mean, literally every day, two or three press conferences, hours of conversations with the media. He's used it effectively as a tool to manage, you know, the public discourse, you know, throughout the country. And then to have then a policy at the largest government agency we have that basically is we don't talk to reporters or we don't want reporters talking to us is a real dichotomy. I mean, like, why is it that you can have this kind of discourse in the Oval Office of the White House every day, but you can't have people asking questions of folks inside the Pentagon? Vast majority of the Pentagon funding, all of which comes out of your public coffers, taxpayer money, mm-hmm. is not spent on super secret funding. It's spent on a lot of things that have to do with the workforce, the military, the million man military, the housing, transfers, you know, relationships, you know, new developments and technology. And it's all things that the American public would be curious to know and need to know. And they are not going to hear it from the Pentagon. They have to hear it from the media. And so having them not there does the Pentagon no good. And I just don't understand it in an administration that has this much transparency with the media.
It's a really great point, Rick, and the dichotomy that we're seeing here. I don't know if that means Donald Trump just wants to be the spokesperson for the Pentagon here. But Aisha, I wonder, you know, reporters are really good at what they do. And a guy like Tony Capasio isn't going to be hanging around the bureau now that this happened. Is there a chance that coverage of the Pentagon, in fact, is enhanced somehow by this, that the scoops get bigger and the stories get larger?
You know, Rick makes a great point about why is it that this administration that claims to be so transparent and wants to control the narrative through the president is actually trying to hide, essentially, what's going on at the Pentagon from reporters and control how people are able to talk about that. I think that's the real curious thing to me, because the person who is actually running the Pentagon has zero experience in defense, but actually comes from the media. And so it's interesting. This shutout, or at least this attempt to censor and control that's happening. And I think that, you know, we absolutely should see more in-depth coverage of the Pentagon just out of sheer curiosity about what it might be that they're hiding and why is it that they're trying to control the message about what's going on there. So I do hope that reporters certainly see this as an opportunity to ask more questions, to be more inquisitive, to bring to the American public as much detail as possible, because there's clearly something that is nefarious that's happening that this administration thinks, you know, the public shouldn't be as close to. And barring the press, you know, is really a blockage of our constitutional rights to know what's going on. So I do hope that the reporters really seize this opportunity to dig deeper.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of people digging in here, I think, Aisha. It's good to have you back. Aisha Mills, Principal Community Asset Management, our Democratic strategist alongside Republican strategist and Bloomberg Politics contributor Rick Davis. Thanks for listening to the Balance of Power podcast. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us live every weekday from Washington, D.C. at noontime Eastern at Bloomberg.com.